When I was a basketball player in the peach basket days, a chair arose that, and literally back then, the cheerleaders led cheers and people actually cheered with them. And Debbie and Selby will remember those days when the cheerleaders stood in front of the crowd and the crowd followed the cheerleaders. And that was the way things worked. And a cheer came along those days that I think about it now and it was really innate. Very innate, as were others. Lord knows what it is. S-U-C-C-E-S-S, that's the way we spell success. That was supposed to inspire me. When in fact, I don't know any other way to spell success. It was like we were onto something. We were onto the secret spelling that happens to be the spelling. The word success is an important word in American culture. We try to use it to say that somehow we're a better team. Success, as Scott said, success, like the other idols we talked about, money, material, love, these are good things. And I want it to be known right up front that I'm not in any way saying that success is a bad thing, or that it's an ungodly thing, or that it's something we should try to avoid. Not a bit. But I am saying, and I think that this can be a distinctly American problem, that success can become an idol. Success can become an overarching life goal that just covers and clouds our ability to see clearly with what is really important. And what's really important is that we learn how to define what we mean when we talk about life's biggest issues. Follow this quote by Eugene Peterson. Eugene Peterson is that a wonderful writer who wrote, among other things, the Message Bible. Every now and then, we use the Message because of how it paraphrases a Bible passage just so wonderfully, richly. Eugene Peterson said this. Please read that. The longer I'm on my journey, the more I think I understand what our faith is to be about. And our faith is to be about Jesus. He is the author, He is the finisher, He is the sustainer of life, and by extension, our faith. I think this is a brilliant and true statement. That so many terms, even terms that we use in the church, have been corrupted. And that if we want to get back to substance and strength and faith that is so vibrant, then we have to get back to what did Jesus mean when he said things? What is the meaning that he poured into the words? Not what is the meaning that culture pours into words, or pastors pour into words, or the media, whatever. Educators? Well-intentioned people? What did Jesus mean when he said things? What was the meaning of those words? We need to get back to that. I couldn't find anywhere where the word success was explicitly explained by Jesus. But he talks about the treasures, the motivations, the longings, and
the energy of our souls all the time.
If we really want to know what's accepted according to Jesus, it's there to be known. And we don't have time today to exhaust this.
We're going to go to a story which I think speaks so much about the problem of success as an idol and the solution. And interestingly enough, I gave probably my first sermon ever in 1975 in a funeral home in Leroy where 8 high school kids had gathered, and we had our first ever Young Life meeting. And the funeral home had volunteered to let us have it there. It's great. I talked about this story. The story of Naaman the leper. So, and Athena tells me that's what they're studying downstairs today, so how great. If you would, grab your Bible or a church Bible. Turn to page 311 in the church Bible. If you don't know this story, get ready for an amazing account of what success is and what it isn't. 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria. I'm going to drop some names. MacArthur, Eisenhower, Lee, Grant, Schwarzkopf, commanders of armies. That's who we're talking about here. We're talking about the big guy. Was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. Naaman was a man quite familiar with military success. If military success is to conquer your enemies and prevail in battle, he knew all about that. And because of that, he found favor with the king. And to him, and to most of us, it doesn't get much better than that. To be in a place of respect with that one who is to be most highly respected, the king. He was a mighty man of valor. Iron Man 2, whatever I've seen it. William Wallace, mighty man of valor. Oops. But he was a leper. He was a leper. Leprosy means that your flesh is rotting. This is an impediment. This is an impediment to his glory. The sad state of affairs. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel. Oh, I love this part. And she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. Okay, this wasn't summer in the USA, friends. This little girl may have, and this is no leak, she may have witnessed the execution of her family. Regardless, she was ripped away from her family at home, and she was forced to be a servant. This little girl has the stuff of greatness. Let's see what. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet who was in Samaria,
he would cure him of his leprosy. Success, according to Jesus, is to be a forgiving person, full of grace. Success, according to Jesus, is to be like the Good Samaritan. Interesting that the prophet is in Samaria. Success, according to... Boy, it's getting dark in here. Let me put some lights on. Success is to be able to read. Success is, according to Jesus, to be someone who pours grace on others. What is grace? Goodness. Past wishes. Nothing in return for the favor I want you to have. Selflessness. It is Jesus. I don't know what this little girl has suffered, but I do know she's been ripped away from her family. And what is her thought? I want my master to be healed of this terrible curse of leprosy. In the upside down kingdom of Jesus, this little girl is she is the one who lives most successfully to this point. We have a long way to go, so I'll keep going. So Naaman went in and told his Lord, thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. Now this is really important, and maybe something you haven't thought about, even if you know the story. In that day, and maybe in this day, there is a thinking that religious people, religious bodies, or just basic transcendent belief systems might have a secret. They just might know something that the person who typically pays no attention to spirituality is plugged into. And here was the thinking in that day by these people who did not worship the one true God. They believed in many gods and in the favor of many gods. And if we can just do something to win favor, then we can win blessing. Here's the important thing for us to understand about the God who is there. We don't win with blessing. We have it. We don't earn grace. It flows from Him. We don't talk ourselves into mercy or healing or hope. It is His nature, His very essence, to pour that out on us. The little girl understands that. Naaman doesn't. Got to keep going in the story. So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. There are so many jokes there that I can't even. But look at you. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, when this letter reaches you, know that I sent to you the name of my servant. Now this is not unlike two warring presidents, kings, whatever, communicating with each other. Because these people were traditionally on and off war, they still are. Syria and Israel. A letter from the king of Syria. The king of Syria. His name is Pelop. King of Syria. To this other guy. King of Israel. Hey, send him down. I mean, this is like, friends, this is like Hitler sending a letter to Churchill saying, General Rommel needs to come to England for some treatment. I'm sure you'll give him a fine reception. Field Marshal, I should have said. That's what this is like. And when the king of Israel read the letter, verse 7, he didn't say, let's have a party. He tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking his quarrel. I mean, he is confused and mad and scared because he knows this request is beyond anything any political human power can bring about. He thinks he's setting us up. He knows who Naaman is. He probably knows he has leprosy. I'm sending him over to be cured. So then he's thinking, if he's not cured, what happens? Now, again, the way people at the top often view things is that if I'm at the top, I have privilege. And here's what's sad. People at the bottom of society structure often think, if I can only get to the top, then I would have it made. That is the idol of success. That if I believe that it will be through some type of march up the ladder of societal declaration as to what is success, that I will have it all. I'm worshiping something that cannot give me back anything but frustration and emptiness. I don't need to go through the list of people who have achieved that and come up empty. But I am going to talk about one. A guy that I have enjoyed watching compete as much as anyone has hired. What more could a guy need in terms of success? He's a broken man. And I pray for him. We pray for him on weekends. That he would learn that success is not an accomplishment. It's a way of viewing and living life. And Jesus is the one who sets the standard. He sets the standard. Let's keep going. But when Elisha, the man of God, he's a prophet in Samaria. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he said to him, why are you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel. And here's what's important we must know. Elisha is not saying he needs to know a big guy. No, he's saying he needs to know the Lord. He needs to know the Lord. Let's keep going. It's too good. So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times and your flesh will be restored and you shall be clean. Entourage pulls up, knocks on the door. Hey, sit down, wrong. And the prophet says, here's what he needs to do. Go down to that dirty river right down the hill there and wash yourself in it 7 times and everything will be cool. Keep going. But Naaman was angry and went away today. Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me, show me obeisance, show me respect, show him I'm the second biggest man in Syria. That he would come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. I thought he would conjure up something.
I thought that my hope was that whatever powers this prophet had, he would exercise those powers, and I would be miraculously cured. because he has a reputation. And here's something else, friends. Do you think Naaman had to swallow his pride to do this? To get this far? To go into Israel, the enemy? To go to somebody he's never heard of at the word of a little servant girl? Don't tell anybody. He had to get this far. This was a secret mission. And he had to swallow his pride. He doesn't. He was the general. He told people what to do, and they did it. To the sacrificing of their lives. And this is just too humiliating. He doesn't know it, friends, but he is on the Jesus journey of having his house of cards broken by humility and having it become a house built on the rock. He's on his way. He's on his way. Let's keep going. Are not the Mackinac and Panther Creek, the rivers of McLean County, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage, but his servant came there and said, my father, it's a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Just do it. What do you have to lose? Isn't that what they're saying? What do you have to lose? Has he actually said you wash it between? So he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Now, just because of time, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. And I urge you to read it for yourself. Naaman is blown away, and wouldn't you be? He is blown away by what just happened to him. And here is the big blow. He found cleansing, healing, hope, beauty by humbling himself. That had never been what he had learned. That had never been what they taught in the military academy. Think about it. That had never been the way to success. When he left Syria in search of healing, success to him was not following this prescription. Not at all. But he is blown away. And now the problem becomes, I want to embrace Elisha to the point that it's ridiculous. And Elisha, great, great man. There is a God of Israel. He's also the God of Syria. He's also the God of Spain. He's also the God of Afghanistan. He's also the God of what is normal. And here's how he shows his mighty power. By touching those who will humble themselves. How about the words of Jesus? He who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. George, would you put the last slide up? Now, maybe the key thing in all of this is to ask this question, because remember, Jesus is the definition of, or he's the one who defines what words mean. Let me ask you this. Was Jesus a success? Okay, let's think about his story real quickly. All right. He lives in this small community, and he makes a lot of friends. He's a good guy.
And then he launches out into an itinerant preaching mode. He goes around and he does things like what happened in ancient Israel here. He heals lepers by his command, by his touch. But throughout the whole time, he's telling people, don't tell others about this. The time is not yet come. He tells his disciples, keep this on the down low. He's not exalting himself. He is trying to keep down the rage that can happen. You see a success. Build a movement. But that isn't what he was trying to do ultimately.
It was hard. You have to be careful. It was hard. So, goes to the big city. Has an entourage. Gets arrested. Early 30s. Goes through a mock trial. He's beaten. He's embarrassed. He's stripped of any dignity.
Success! Success, your name is Jesus. You're being executed for all to see. And your day has come and gone. Was Jesus a success? Boy, not by the world's standards. Not that day on the cross. No. He was a failure. And even his best friends thought that it had all come crashing down. Didn't they? They thought it was over. Jesus had taught all these things which are contrary to human societal norms. That to be humble, to be a servant, to have your life poised on these two objects, to love God with everything you have. Remember 2 weeks ago, he said, I want you to be rich towards God. That's what it means to be rich. To be rich towards God. Oh, and there's part two. Be rich towards others. Yeah. That's the step. Being rich towards God and others. It is not on accumulating things that moths and rust and decay and the IRS and whoever else will take over. It's being rich towards God and others. Here he is, dead. Truly dead. It's over. Not a success, a failure. Oh, by the way, in his humbling himself to allow himself, the one who made the trees from which the cross was made, who made the iron ore from which the steels were, the steel or iron nails were forged, who made the hill, who made the people. He defeated death. He defeated, and this is the one that lately has just been grabbing onto me, he defeated the effects of our fallenness. Told the story today of a military leader of great renown. My son John and I last night were with a military man of great renown in our lives. And I'm probably hurt. Somebody seen the movie We Were Soldiers? My brother-in-law
He was then Captain Jim Spires,
was there. That's the story of his unit in the Iberian Valley of Vietnam.
Jim Spires worked in the White House as a military aide when I was a young boy. I wasn't very proud of him. Oh man, was I ever. He is the smartest human being I've ever known. Intellectually, the smartest. Speaks 8 languages. And there are things like Urdu and Hindi and Vietnamese, and it's not like he learned the Romance languages. In their hearts. And he is one of the most noble, honorable, delightful people I have ever known. So our first day of the brothers group, which some of you are part of, he came and spoke. I don't know if you remember. Last night, it was my sister's birthday, so we went up there to celebrate. Jim was in Vietnam and in a village where Agent Orange rained down to destroy the foliage so that the enemy couldn't sneak up on him. And he was exposed to Agent Orange in a terrible way. Most of his compadres have died. He now has lost his mental faculties. And it is really hard to watch the smartest person you've ever known not know where he is or who you are. And I said to Jeanette last night, my sister, this makes me love the resurrection. Because, and Jim knows Jesus, because Jim is going to be renewed. And she, always the optimist and kind of always the joker, said, he'll leave the debating society. He's that smart. Just how successful was Jesus? Well, by the world standards, abject failure. Put to death, end of mini revolution. By Jesus' standards, this was his standard. I came to do the will of him who sent me. Did he do it? He did it. To the nth degree. He was tempted to not do it, but he did it. And by the Father's standards, behold, this is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. We don't know all that means. I'm crazy about this guy. And then he said, listen to him. Utter success. I love the success of Jesus. Because it means that death has lost its sting. That the inevitable ravages of time have lost their power. One of the last things we read in the Bible is one of the most important. And I say this week after week after week. And I want you to say it and believe it. And it's Jesus saying, behold. In other words, pay attention. Why not? Check it out. I make all things new. We celebrate today and we sing because we love to be people of faith who get together and encourage each other. That's all fine and good. But had Jesus not been the victor over sin and death and all of the heartache that life brings us,
be going through some motions. But we're not. We're not. He proved it. He proved it by the immutable fact of His resurrection and His promise to make all things new. Here it is, friends. Our success now and our view of success is not to be how high up the ladder can I climb. Because you get there, you fall off, and do it. Unless your view of success is all of the blessings that come my way are yours. And I am entrusted with the loving call of God to love Him and to love others and to share His blessings. And that's success. That's success.